to 6 o'clock. Well, getting a student research job can be a great way to further academic standing and keep the bills at bay. But for one fourth-generation Japanese-Canadian student, she made a very personal discovery as part of her work at the University of Victoria. Nicole Yakashiro located the original documents connected to the dispossession of her family's land during the Second World War. Nicole is a student research assistant on the Landscapes of Injustice project, and she joins me now in studio. Hello there.
Hi.
Now, first of all, before we get into your own personal story, tell me about this Landscapes of Injustice project. What is it all about?
So, Landscapes of Injustice is a 7-year research project based out of the University of Victoria. It's looking specifically at the question of the dispossession of property owned by Japanese Canadians. A lot of research that we know talks about the internment. That's something people are a little bit more familiar about generally. But the dispossession of property is something that we're interested in, and those connections.
So for someone who doesn't know what that means, what was the dispossession of property?
Right. So we were just speaking earlier about this. But during the internment, the government forced sales of Japanese Canadian owned property. So that meant that when families and communities were uprooted and removed from their homes in the coastal region of British Columbia, the government justified, and we're unpacking that on the project, but they justified the sale of those properties. So they basically didn't have homes to go home to.
And I understand they would, after the war, many individuals tried to purchase it back, but at these inflated prices.
Yeah, and majority of them had already been sold at, like, the marginal prices. So it's kind of one of those things where it was impossible to get the properties once they were already settled on by other people.
What made you want to get involved in a project like this?
Well, obviously, I have a personal connection. It happened really in an amazing way. I happened upon the application for Landscapes of Injustice, and I was like, this is fascinating, not only because of my personal connection, but because of the work itself. I am very passionate about academic work that does important and have, like, has a more applicable purpose than just research for the sake of research. It's research that's mobilizing communities and mobilizing activism in a lot of people. So I was already interested in histories of injustice and how we can rectify that in the present day. And obviously it all kind of came together. I felt a very personal connection, but also academically I was moved by it.
But did you know about your family's history? Like, did you know the full story?
I knew parts of it. The Japanese-Canadian dispossession and internment, you'll find a lot of people don't talk about it in their families, so I knew vague things about it. But as now that I'm actually a part of this, this is my second year in the project, I know far more than I thought I would ever find out, and I'm able to share that with my family, which is really special as well.
So what was it, your grandfather that was interned as a child or as a teenager?
Yeah, so my grandfather and my grandmother were both interned. My grandfather was about 9 at the time, and so was my grandma. My grandmother's side of the family, they were from the Steveston area, fishermen, and then my grandfather's side were farmers in the Fraser Valley.
Okay, so it's your grandfather's family farm that was dispossessed, was taken.
Yeah.
So at what point, so you knew that there was this land, there was this farm?
Honestly, I did not know about the land. That's something, sorry, I guess I didn't clarify that earlier, but I guess I knew about the internment, because there's usually a little bit of an anecdote about the internment in history books, but it wasn't something we talked about a lot in the family. The dispossession of property wasn't something I knew a lot about, and as I'm unpacking it, our relationship to land and our homes is very, very intimate and emotional and powerful, and I think that's what the strength of this project is it looks at something that you wouldn't think would have so much to unpack about it. Like, we think of the incarceration of persons in these camps in the interior. That's obviously a violation of human rights, but I think the dispossession side, to remove people from a place to live, which is still happening today in Vancouver and tons of communities right now, I think it's really relevant, and it's really important for us to talk about that.
Well, that and their livelihoods.
Of course,
taking away their
everything and the future possibilities on that property.
So how did you come across the documents connected to the dispossession of this family farm?
Sure. So part of the landscapes research is archival digitization. So in the next few years of the project, as it moves into its second phase, we're going to be mobilizing a lot of the research that we've accumulated. So one great thing about it is I'm able, as a researcher on the project, to look through a lot of these files. So I was looking specifically at these Bird Commission files. The Bird Commission was this commission put forward by the government in the late 1940s to hear claims from Japanese Canadians for losses incurred from the forced sale of their property. That being said, it was only for Japanese Canadians who could actually afford to do that, so not everyone was able to have that opportunity. Both sides of my family did, and I was curious if they did. So I looked, and I found my grandfather's case file, and then I discovered these documents, and I had quite the, emotional response to it, it was unexpected in some ways, I guess, because I've spent so much time with this research. I just, spent a couple hours alone with these documents, and it's like evidence of something very real. You know what I mean?
What's running through your mind at that moment when you see your family's history right in front of you?
I guess it's the silence. I guess that's what's running through my mind is. What isn't, things that are inherited that aren't told to us. I was thinking a lot about my great-grandparents, because I didn't know them, and seeing their words on paper, seeing their letters and correspondence with the government about, the washing machine. Like, there was this brand new washing machine, and it meant so much to my great-grandmother. And I had heard that from my grandpa. At a young age, my grandpa said, my mom, she had this washing machine, and she was so upset about losing it. And it's one of those memories that's passed on orally. But I found when I was going through these files, it was there in black and white. It was very clear that my family was really upset about this specific washing machine. I think today we kind of take for granted these luxuries, like a washing machine. But after working your life to have something like that,
exactly,
having it taken away in an instant, it's for no reason at all.
Yeah,
it's horrific.
In terms of connecting that history, it's all about seeing it too. Have you gone to see where the family farm is or was?
Yeah. So, I guess I should preface this with. One of the documents in that file that we were talking about is a diagram of the property. And that's actually what I've been exploring, and I'll be exploring tomorrow at our public conference. It's in Maple Ridge, and I knew that from the legal property description, but the roads names had changed. And so I did this little investigating on Google Maps and trying to match the property with Google Maps today, because I didn't know the roads. And I was able to do that. And so actually just maybe a week and a half ago, I went out there on a really rainy day. It was kind of soothing, I guess, and definitely didn't feel like any kind of homecoming, that's for sure.
Why do you say that?
I started driving down the road, and I'm like, okay, I think it's this property, and there's just massive fences, and guarding the properties. It was quite literally blocking me out from that. And then on top of that, the metaphor of fences and no trespassing signs on these fences. People are gonna think about me, but I wanted to take a picture of the property. I really wanted to feel it and remember it and have something to share with my family. But I wasn't really able to get anything of substance because of that. I think that speaks volumes about what dispossession does, right? Completely removes people from their homes and their histories, too. I definitely feel This project has allowed me to reconnect to histories that I've been not connected with earlier in my life.
So what does that mean for the future, for your future, your academic future, but also your personal future? I mean, how is this shaping you currently?
Yeah, so I guess the academic question is easy. I'm going to be starting my master's of history at UBC in the fall, and I'm looking at the dispossession of Japanese Canadians, but I'm also contextualizing it with the dispossession of Indigenous peoples, particularly the Siniks and the Kootenays in Slocan Valley. Mm-hmm. I think what's really powerful about the concept of dispossession is that Canada is founded on dispossession of Indigenous peoples, and so I think it's really important for us to recognize those connections as well. And personally, I'm super mobilized by the Japanese Canadian community that I've been engaged with through this project, and my fellow colleagues who are doing similar work. Like, Landscapes of Injustice brings together like-minded people who want to take this knowledge and put it into the world and make a difference. So it's pretty great.
Nicole, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
That was Nicole Yakashiro. She's a student research assistant on the Landscapes of Injustice project at the University of Victoria. Tomorrow, the public is invited to attend the Spring Institute Day for the Landscapes of Injustice project. That runs from 9 until 5:30, and it's the Michael Pujol conference room in the Student Union Building at the University of Victoria. Now, for more information, you can go to events.uvic.ca.